This podcast is sponsored by Buxton in Bayside, the premier Bayside real estate agency. Welcome to the Bayside Bubble. I am Marie Lacey, and together with my co-host Kate Harvey, we are delighted to share fun and fascinating stories that make Bayside one of the best places to live in the world. The Bayside Bubble podcast is all about our local community, connecting with Baysiders who make a positive difference to where we live. This podcast would not be possible without our sponsors, Buxton in Bayside and Chisholm Constructions. So get on board and share the bubble love.
Well, I just heard Marie take a big breath in, and actually I'm the one introducing. So why are you taking the breath in when I'm introducing?
I don't know.
There we go. It's me. Hi, Baysiders. Welcome back.
Right. That sounds really good, actually.
Banterers, Baysiders.
I do need to do an enunciation course.
Do you know what? I've actually been Googling it.
Because you are, I think you are so good.
I disagree.
But you sound so great.
No,
I merge all my words together.
Well, you just talk fast.
Yes, but I need to slow down. So
that's different to not enunciating correctly.
No, you enunciate very well.
I don't believe I do.
I think you do.
Let's start this banter off with an argument like normal. Hi, Baysiders. We're back. Did you miss us? Probably not, because you have listened to us last week.
You're an idiot. Just stop.
It is starting.
You didn't count me in.
I did count you in.
That's hilarious.
I said, let's
hi.
No, hi.
How are you doing?
I'm well. Well, you know, I'm here. That is a bonus.
Yes, it is a bonus, and for me too. But the good news is, and I always say the good news.
What I love.
The good news is that
I'm drinking gin and
we
tonic.
We had some
again,
great. I know you always are drinking gin and tonic, and you've got me into it, which I love. The good news is that we've had some good feedback from our last banter kitty cat.
We have board games.
Board games. So you get the feedback because you're IT guru and manager. What did the person say? And what was the person's name about our board game banter?
Well, this was Lucy. Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Lucy.
She was a first-time emailer,
by the way. Pretty cool.
Thank you very much, yes. Lucy Lou. And she basically said she was very disappointed we hadn't talked about Pictionary.
I love Pictionary.
Which I agree, Lucy.
Do you enjoy it?
I totally agree. I love it. And as we were saying in our episode on board games, it's one of those ones which really creates a lot of angst and family issues. So there's been a lot of times when a lot of gestures and a lot of talking have happened, and perhaps it's been stopped more quickly than we expected. But yes, gotta love it.
While you've been chatting about nothing.
I know, I said, that's what put me off. You were just looking at your phone and I was talking to the wall.
Hello, wall.
I'm talking
about Hello, Wall. Didn't you love
what?
That movie she talks to the wall in she's a, what's it called?
Which one?
It's a lady that does, she talks to the wall. It's a Greek.
Yes,
she's in Greece.
Middle-aged.
What's it called?
It's Shirley Valentine.
Yeah, Shirley Valentine, well done. I love that movie. Well done for picking that up.
Now.
It is. So back to Pictionary. So the reason why you were looking and talking, because I was actually thought, okay, I'm going to listen to the Junkies, they say it's lame research. So I'm going to do some lame research. And Junkies is a podcast, by the way. Anyway.
Listen to us first before them.
Correct. Back to my lame research, which is Pictionary on Wikipedia. Mm. Guess what year it was first published?
I
would have
Pictionary?
Said longer. Yeah, I would have said a long time ago, but
1985.
Oh my God, you are on it.
Yes! Oh my God! Oh my God!
You know,
I pulled that out of my backside, Marie Lacey.
Like everything else. So in 85, which is, you know, when you say it's not that long ago, 85 is 36 years ago.
Thanks very much for that.
And but for some reason, I feel like the last two decades just...
That's because we're old.
Okay.
And as we get older, life goes a bit faster.
That's true, actually. That's
I know.
True.
Yeah, thanks I know. Very much for telling me what I already know and what I told you.
Sorry, I just need to give you this information.
Okay.
Mainly for Lucy.
That. Come on, Lucy Lou.
Okay, now. So
Lucy Lou gets $50 gift voucher, by the way.
What for?
For interacting with us during this time of COVID when we're all languishing. Okay. So thank you, Lucy.
Okay, you are very generous. $50.
I'm being very generous.
Okay, Lucy, $50 voucher coming to you for what though? I'm thinking we should put it back to board games.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Big
so W. She can, yeah, Big W. There you go. Okay, so here is some information about Pictionary. It was created by Robert Angel and his friends in 1981. However, he and his roommates came up with the concept of the game, which proved to be very popular between them. While originally hesitant to pitch the idea, Angel was inspired by Trivial Pursuit, the gameplay of which was similar to his concept and proved to him that such a gameplay would work and be successful. So he and his business partners first published Pictionary in 1985 through Angel Games. So that's his name.
Mm-hmm. Noted.
And, thank you, and a week before Pictionary was first launched, Angel Games Printing Company called to inform them that they could not sort through the 500,000 cards they printed out. So Angel and his partners had to sort through the cards themselves over the course of 6 days, and they managed to sell 6,000 copies in 1 year at $35 each.
There you go.
They licensed the game in 1986 in a joint venture between the Games Gang and Western Publishing. And in 1994, Hasbro, who we talked about in our last podcast, took over publishing and acquired the game.
And it went worldwide after that.
Yep. And in 2001, it was sold to Mattel.
There you go.
Here's a fun fact.
It fun. No horses.
Okay, no, 60 horses, countries, 45 languages, 11 versions, and a total of versions.
Thank you.
Versions, not virgins.
Thank you.
Gee, it'd be good to be a virgin in draw virgin.
It'd be boring.
Imagine drawing a virgin in Pictionary. What would you do? Anyway, I digress.
Good question.
Good question. Good digression. Anyway, and a total of 32 million games sold worldwide.
That's a lot of games.
That's a lot of games. So here's Pictionary. I had a very funny Pictionary incident many years ago on a girls' weekend.
Go.
So, four of us go away for the weekend. We're down on the Mornington Peninsula. We pair up and my pair partner, after a few drinks, sort of falls off the wagon. Like she's actually, when I say falls off the wagon, she's really fallen nearly off her seat.
She's hammered.
And I say it's her turn to draw and my turn to guess. So the clue is a drawing pin. So she opens a piece of paper, plain piece of paper, and she gets her pen and she's banging the pen into full stops all over the page. So I say full stop and she's getting angry with me and more angry. And the other two that I'm playing with are falling about themselves just in full laughter. They're crying. I'm actually angry because I can't get what she's saying or drawing.
And you're a competitive person.
Yep. And the other two have lost it. And in the end, I lose it too because what she was doing was drawing a drawing pin.
She really wasn't. She was just drawing a dot.
She was drawing a dot. Yeah, she was pissed. Mm. But what a great game.
It is such a fun game.
We'd laugh about it all the time.
Yep.
The drawing pin.
Yep. There you go. So Pictionary. Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Lucy. All right. What are we talking about today?
I can't remember now.
I know.
Hold on. Oh, I know. Phrases, yes. Sayings. Yes. That's it.
Or an idiom.
Oh, there you go. Look at you being all fancy smanchy.
An idiom.
All right. So you're going to go
what an idiom means?
First today. Yeah, like a, you know, just a an understood concept.
It's something that you read that doesn't make sense if you actually read it verbatim.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But you have to understand the underlying.
Well, you have to crack the underlying. Thing. Yes.
All right.
What's your
You're
going
to go. I am the presenter today.
Okay,
Maria
lovely.
Lace.
Lovely.
You remember that?
Okay, great.
So, what is your first one?
Okay. So, my first saying is when someone says, Bob's your uncle.
Mm.
So, usually.
Fanny's
you say,
your aunt.
Correct.
Mm.
So, Bob's your uncle is when you are suggesting or describing something. So you might go, okay, let's use a cooking example. So we'll make an apple pie. So you get the pastry, you stew the apples, and then you go, and Bob's your uncle. There it is. So there it is. It's the end result of something.
Mm-hmm.
Bob's your uncle. I thought, where did that come from? So I looked it up. In 1887, Kitty Cat, the Prime Minister of the UK was a guy called Robert Gascoigne - Cecil. Boring name. Anyway, Robert Gascoigne Cecil appointed his nephew, Arthur James Balfour, as a minister for Ireland. The phrase Bob's your uncle was coined when Arthur referred to the Prime Minister as Uncle Bob.
Right.
apparently it's very simple to become a minister when you're Bob's your uncle.
Ah.
So it's nepotism.
Great.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In its making.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you say Bob's your uncle. It actually was.
Yeah.
And it's totally. All about who you know.
Yeah, totally. And little interesting fact is the Americans don't use that saying at all. They don't know that saying.
Well, they don't know many sayings, do they?
They don't know a lot.
Sorry, the American friends out there.
I love the Americans who live in Australia.
And okay, let's move on.
American relative who I love.
Let's move on. What's your number one?
So typical me, it's and the horse you rode in on.
Oh, you say that a lot.
I do. But I actually, say the first part of it as
you,
well.
Yeah, there's a precursor there.
Correct. Which is F you and the horse you rode in on. Or F me sometimes.
Yes.
And the horse I rode in on.
Yes, you do
sometimes
say that a lot.
Sometimes I say that too.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. So when you tell people off, you it basically exacerbates or amplifies what you've said. So, you know, go away and get on that horse and as well as that horse,
yep.
Both of you leave.
Yep.
And so what it has come from is that instead of just insulting you, they want to insult your whole circumstance. So not just you, but everything about you, right?
Yep.
So it originates from America back in the day, the old West, you know, horses, etc.
Cool.
And horses were regarded as you know, actually quite sacred, right?
They were
inherent to your survival and your livelihood, and they were like a key
they
part.
They were a vehicle to your life.
Exactly. So they weren't worshipped or revered, but valued and respected,
very,
right? So you could shoot a guy, but if you shot his horse, then you were considered to be low down and dirty.
So it's like the Wild West with cowboys and Indians?
Absolutely. Okay. So insulting the horse a man rode in on would have been considered as pretty stiff insult back then.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. So that's where it comes
that's
from.
That's a great one. Okay, number two for me.
Mm-hmm.
Happy as Larry. We say it all the time.
We do.
We don't think about why.
Larry's a happy man. So, who is Larry and where does he come from, Marie?
It comes from a dude, Larry Foley,
mm-hmm.
in the late 1880s, who was an Australian popular citizen and old-time champion boxer.
Oh, okay.
So apparently Larry was a remarkable fighter and he was undefeated in his time. And apparently one fight lasted for over 70 rounds. I remember reading that thinking, 70 rounds of fighting must have gone forever. Anyway, the research says or states that he received a substantial payout for his final fight, which was over £1,000, which back then would have been like
millions
now.
Millions.
So a newspaper in New Zealand apparently ran a story after he won that massive fight and described the crowds watching him as being as happy as Larry for witnessing such an incredible fight.
So they were as happy as he was for winning than they were for watching
for spectating.
Him.
Awesome. How's that?
I love that.
So do I. Number two. Number two for you.
Number two for me is three sheets to the wind.
Ooh. Now, when you say that, let's use that in context.
Let's.
Because I think I actually visualize it.
Yeah.
And see three sheets in the wind. And I actually, the first thing I see, honestly, is an old Hills hoist from Adelaide in the wind. And then my head goes into a yacht with the three sails.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which one it is. But what does it mean?
Okay. So it means drunk as a skunk.
It doesn't, does it?
It really does.
Why?
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
And it's because of number two. So good old Hills Hoist in Adelaide, as much as I love both of them.
Yes.
It is actually about a yachts and yachting.
Oh, okay.
So it comes from pretty much mid-19th century, so 1825 to 1850, something like that. And it was a way of measuring a sailor's drunkenness.
Yes. How would they show this?
So the phrase these days is more often three sheets to the wind, but there were other levels of it. So it was one sheet, two sheet, three sheets. So three sheets was all three sails were you know, you're gone. Screwed and gone, and you're just, you're a mess. You're right. An absolute mess.
Okay.
But two and one were less drunk and less out of control.
Sure.
So that's basically what it was. It was a measure of a sailor's drunkenness.
Wow. That's very impressive. I like that one. So when we go down our kayaks next time and in the knots, we can say, if you're a beginner in the wind of knots, 10 knots, we're in number one, 10 to 20, we're medium, and once you get to 30 knots, we're gone. We're smashed.
Yeah, or I'm not actually out there at 30 knots.
No, either would I be.
I'm walking on the beach path holding my cap, wanting it not to fly off my head. And look, the reason why I chose that one was because of our friend JD. Now, for long-term listeners, you will know we have a friend, James, who puts up with our shit. And James has a little dinghy. Do we call it a dinghy?
Yeah, it's a dinghy.
It's not bigger than that,
no,
really,
it's a
is it?
Yeah.
And he's called it Three Sheets.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of sanding.
He does.
What's
epoxy?
What's epoxy?
Yeah, he does epoxy. He does a lot of epoxy sanding.
So there you go. And he doesn't even listen to this podcast. So I'm not even sure why we're friends, but there we go.
I'm not even sure why you mentioned him. But anyway.
Me neither. Just,
anyway. Okay, number three for me.
Go.
It's raining cats and dogs.
Mm. Not it's raining men. Damn it.
It's raining Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Let me say his word. Okay, so raining cats and dogs.
I'm fascinated by this.
This is a great
one. Go.
So in the not so good old days. So in the days of poverty and, you know, sadness and depression.
What, like yesterday?
Yeah, like today. pet animals, including dogs and cats, would sleep in the rafters of a barn.
Mm.
And they'd sleep close to the hay roof.
Sure, to keep warm.
To keep warm.
So that's where the hay was kept.
Correct.
Kept dry and whatever.
So they'd sleep up there and they'd feel nice and cozy and warm. And then the rain would come down and seep through. And then there's only a slight problem that when it rained hard, the wooden beams would get wet, and it wasn't unusual for the cats and dogs to fall down from the open ceiling.
Oh. This is not a fun fact, Marie.
But there's no horses. But you do it.
We're both thinking the same thing.
But that's a pretty cool.
That's
it's really
isn't
cool.
Isn't it cool?
Imagine standing in the bar. They'll be awesome.
And literally
happy.
Dogs and cats were
it's
falling
raining cats
on
and
you.
Dogs. Yep.
So do you know how long ago did that 1800s. Start? Okay.
Yep. There you go.
There you go.
I like that one.
I love that one. I love that one.
Number three for you.
Okay. So this is my final one. And I don't know, there's a bit of a theme to mine apart from JD and mine. But mine is, does a bear shit in the woods? It's a good one, isn't it? So
well, it's an obvious answer. But where did it originate?
All right. So America again.
Okay.
1850s. That type of...
In Montana?
Yes, probably. And it basically came from the similar thing to, is the Pope Catholic? So it basically means, well, you're just telling me something I already knew, right? And look, doing all my research into it, it came from that time. Nobody quite knows where and why.
Is this going anywhere?
Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere.
This is just a shitty one.
It's a terrible one.
It's a terrible one.
But it's a great saying.
Yeah, well, let's just go with the saying.
Let's just go with the saying.
Okay.
And basically, we probably should have put this one at the start, right? Because you don't want to end a banter. You don't want to end a podcast.
You know how we talk about
like,
out of 10?
Wow, this is shit.
Out of 10,
it's
that was
terrible.
A 2. But I do like, it's a terrible one. Okay. But anyway, we've got 5 out of 6 excellent ones. And on that note.
I agree. I
Bayside
concur.
Listeners, I hope you've enjoyed the Bayside Bubble and banter for this week. And we look forward to you joining us next week.
We do.
And hopefully we can get a guest back in by next week.
Please. Please.
We've got a few people lined up.
We do.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to us.
Thanks.
Crap on as always.
We'll see you soon, hopefully.
Have a good week.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Bayside Bubble. If you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support us, you can like, subscribe, and leave a review on your favourite podcast platform. Or if you have no idea what that means, just tell your family and friends, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, whoever will listen.
Catch all the latest from us on Insta and Facebook and take a look at our website, baysidebubble.com.au, while you're at it. And of course, this podcast would not be possible without Buxton Real Estate and Chisholm Constructions. So thanks again. We'll see you next time on the Bayside Bubble.